Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the daily country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, you mob. We're going to jump straight in, talk to a beautiful lady from Murrah Law. That's Leah Cameron, founder and principal, solicitor at Murrah Law. Good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. I'm really well, thank you.
Thank you for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from, Leah?
Yeah, I'm a Palawa woman from Tasmania.
So, way down south.
Yeah, I know, down south at the moment, but enjoying some beautiful time on my country.
Yeah, so. Beautiful, fantastic. Good to be on country and put your bare foot into the soil of your country. So, fantastic. Now, topic today is surveillance in the workplace. So while I'm talking to you, I'm looking around for any cameras on me. Continue, open up the conversation about surveillance in the workplace.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Obviously, it's becoming increasingly prevalent that people are looking to, you know, install some surveillance equipment in workplaces, especially with advances of technology. It's becoming much more affordable. Mm. But, you know, the problem is the law around this is a little bit complicated. And look, there's a mix of state and federal legislation, which means, you know, at the end of the day, it's a bit of a dog's breakfast and it's difficult for everyone to navigate. And thrown into the mix is, of course, we also have privacy laws in Australia.
Exactly.
So, as I said, it's a bit of a collection with state and territories and the feds getting involved. And, you know, there's other little bits and pieces of laws out there that govern methods of surveillance, installation, use of CCTV cameras, all these things. But I suppose if we focus on what we do know, in Queensland, for example, monitoring employees or contractors for a legitimate purpose is actually lawful. Provided they've been properly notified that the monitoring is going on, and it also has to be for a legitimate purpose. So that, for example, might be protecting company property from theft, ensuring, you know, health and safety, and employing performance and compliance. So they're all, you know, legitimate purposes. It can't be just for dodgy purposes.
Sure. So how should you notify those being recorded as such?
Yeah, so obviously you should let them know in the first instance, and they should be notified that they are being recorded and the purpose of it. And sometimes it's difficult to let everyone know that you want to record them for various purposes. So it might be that you have an onboarding process for your staff or contractors that come on from time to time. But other times, I suppose you could have some signage at access points when people come onto site. And, you know, or let them know in advance by email or a call, just so they know that, look, as soon as you step onto our work site, this is how we do business.
Okay, so what's a valid purpose?
Oh, yeah, so this is really interesting. So, as we said, it has to be for a legitimate purpose, and that can include things like workplace safety, training to determine compliance, you know, if people are doing their jobs as they should be, you know, to prevent theft. And the recording should only be used for that purpose and not, you know, unnecessarily record it for other things that you use down the track. And so the same applies that, you know, if you are recording stuff you don't need, you should get rid of it after a period of time. So essentially you can't just record it to be a busybody and keep a general eye on people. It has to be for one of those purposes.
And there's a lot of busybodies out there. Don't worry about that.
Now, there are indeed.
Is there a purpose for recording audio?
Yeah, look, this is an interesting one. So obviously, if you're recording audio, people might not always know that. And there's also a risk, I suppose, if people forget that they're recording the audio, mm-hmm. that they might say more sensitive information and it might be, be less relevant for the purposes we mentioned before. The other thing is, of course, that a business can't really control conversations employees have with each other or other people. So it's really important if you feel like you do have to record audio for a particular reason that you really explain to your staff or contractors as to why, and outline that for that reason, you know, if sensitive information does pop up, you only use it for legitimate purposes, mm-hmm. and I suppose you don't use the sensitive information for other reasons. And so you really need to work out about how you're going to protect that sensitive information from other people using it for, you know, illegitimate purposes.
How long should the data be held for?
Yeah, so it's a really good idea for businesses and staff to discuss that. As we said, it has to be for a proper purpose. So it can't be held on for huge amounts of time, you know, to use at a later date. It has to be relevant. So, for example, if you're monitoring staff for a particular purpose to make sure they're following policy and procedure, you know, you would keep it for just that period of time and then, you know, get rid of it. You know, you wouldn't keep it for 3 or 4 years. You know, we all know that information can be held for a long time, but you've really got to make sure that it remains a legitimate purpose and you have a legitimate reason for holding on to it a little longer.
And should you still get staff consent?
Yeah, look, I think it's always a good idea, even if you tell people things. It's like kids. You tell kids 50 times what the position is, but they still forget it.
Yes, I did tell you. No, you didn't hear me.
Everyone's like that. It's in all relationships. So, look, I think it is a good idea for not only for you to obviously induct people or inform them, but to get them to sign a document saying, yes, we know what's going on and we understand it. And that they understand that sometimes sensitive information might be recorded or collected, but that you have a policy around, you know, how that is to be held and for what period of time.
Oh, fantastic. And where to from here?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. As I said, these laws are a bit of a hodgepodge, and currently the Queensland Law Reform Commission is conducting a review of this particular area of law, workplace surveillance and protection of privacy, which is so crucial. And that report's due to be released in April of this year. So hopefully once that's been released, we might see some changes and some clarity for everyone.
Forever changing world we live in, and inevitability, isn't it?
That's it. That's right.
Leah Cameron, who's Marua Law?
Marua Law is an Indigenous legal practice, Trev. We've got a huge number of Dedley Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lawyers that work within Marua Law. They're part of the Marua Law family. If you've got any legal questions, feel free to give us a call on 07-4041-3088 and we can see if we can give you a hand.
Sounds good, Leah. Thank you very much for sharing. Great to be catching up with you, and we'll talk soon, my sister.
My pleasure. Thanks, Trev.
Bye-bye. Adela Yande, Leah Cameron, founder and principal solicitor at Marua Law. And our topic there today was surveillance in the workplace. So, yeah, do due diligence in regard to protecting your workplace, but also watch the Privacy Act and protecting individuals who have got a right to privacy. But it's about communication and about dotting I's, crossing T's, consent forms and all that sort of stuff. But it's that's the world we live in, you mob. Have your say, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, too deadly.
name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Asking you, woman, if it's all right to be with you tonight. I'm waiting. Yes or no? Let's take a walk down by the river. Peace and quiet is what we need. My love for you, baby, will save me when times are hard. I've been working all through the day. I've been thinking about your special way. My love for you, baby, will save me when times are hard.
Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS. I want to acknowledge my mob, my father's side, one year Gunga leader. That's Dumaji, Mountain Island Way. And my mother, beautiful mother with me in spirit, Dunley Island, Arab. And that's Sally Pitt Mob. So a big shout out there to all my family. And I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation Radio Station in Cairns. BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, Yarn Upstrong, 1-800-422-416. Let's slam dunk right into this conversation with Sister Kay Zaro, Nee Savage, cousin beautiful sister. She heads up the Indigenous Community Basketball League happening here in Cairns, kicking off, and she's the regional manager for this particular spot here in Cairns for this fantastic carnival. Kay, very good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning. Good, Trev.
Good to see you, darling. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, my mob's from Darnley Island on my dad's side. And my mum, roots go back to Vanuatu.
Yes, all right. That's the Ambrum side.
That's right.
That's right. Two deadly sister. Look, thank you for coming to the program. Indigenous Community Basketball League. Look, run by IBA, the Indigenous Basketball Australia, Board of Directors, and Paddy Mills sits on the Board of Directors. Yeah. Paddy Mills, Antonio Spurs, NBA champion, TSI man, Aboriginal mix there as well through his mother's side. Look, fantastic to have a man of that calibre on board, organising basketball as a tool to educate the people, our young ones, in a holistic approach. Tell us your engagement, how it came about for you, and your connection there with Paddy Mills, his sister.
Yeah, so I suppose we lived in Canberra for 20 years, and that's where we first caught up with Paddy as a young child, and his mum and dad. So we got to know them really well and started playing with the Shadows Basketball Club down there that Benny and Yvonne ran. And they, from there, I did some coaching in the juniors, and then played Shadows myself, and then actually went on to play Division 1, Division 2. And then when we left Canberra, we came back up to Cairns.
I was just saying, at that time when you were in Canberra and early stages, you said Paddy was a young man, and he was at AIS, was it, Australian Institute of Sport?
Yeah, he came up through Marist College, and then when he got to age, they put him into the AIS. He applied and got in to the AIS, and he went through their program, and at the same time with Nate Jowai.
Okay,
Nate was
right
there
right.
as well.
Yes.
And, was very successful, and from there went on to his scholarship over in the US.
Now, we're talking about big brother Nate Jowai. I mean, big, monstrous man he is. Yeah. Having Paddy Mills stand next to him would be like a mini-me.
That's right, mini-me. He just only comes up to his hips, I'm sure.
Look, too, Dylan, now we've got the first carnival happening this weekend here in Cairns. 8 weeks tournament. Ages under 13, under 14, girls and boys. But this is rolling out across the nation, isn't it?
It is. So the opening ceremony is this Sunday, which is the 7th of February. Our ceremony starts at 1 p.m. It kicks off then. But yes, it is rolling out all over Australia. So we have teams in New South Wales, South Australia, WA, Northern Territory. I'm not sure if Victoria's coming on because of COVID. I think they've sort of stepped away from it for the moment. But in Queensland, we have three areas. So TI.
Yes.
Michael Loban is up there doing teams up there.
Big
as
shout
a regional,
out. Michael Loban. Okay, he heads up that TI. Yep.
As a regional coordinator. I'm the regional coordinator here for Cairns. And then we have Michael Cedar in Brisbane doing the Logan area in Brisbane.
Big shout out, Michael Cedar. I also make mention of Northern Territory. Timmy Duggins heads up NT, Northern Territory. Yep. Former Cairns Marlins and Cairns Taipans. And deadly blackfellow up that way. So the tournament kicks off. We're talking under 13, 14, girls and boys. And some sad faces walking around with under 12s, under 11s, under 10s.
Yeah, it's a 13, 14 carnival. We are allowed to put 12s in, but when we looked at our 10-year-olds, Indigenous kids walking around, they're all got that straight face and got that angry face. And I'm like, me and that one mother reckon, hey, what's wrong with his mom? Did something happen? And that small boy reckon, no, I just want to play.
Thank you. That's all. That's all.
That's all.
Well, you have to wait a couple of years, Bella.
That's right. We'll prime you up first.
Look, a fantastic approach with the board of directors, Paddy Mills included, as I mentioned, a holistic approach. This is not all about basketball. It's about getting these kids thinking right and looking up for their future and being strong black young kids, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. So the holistic approach involves education, health, safety and well-being, things like that, so that we're looking at everything that affects your life and using basketball as a vehicle to move that. Yes. So during our sessions, we will be having motivational and inspirational talks with the kids on each one of those subjects.
Yep.
To bring them up to speed.
Well, they always say that idle time and idle hands, devil's playgrounds. And when you look at our kids who go off the track, so to speak, in regard to, you know, hanging out with bad kids, doing some bad things, or just haven't got that aspiration to live life to the fullest, you know, that's what we're talking about, is nurturing these kids and using basketball as a tool to get them engaged. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what Patty said. You know, we're using basketball as that vehicle to get our kids to where we want them to be. So it is about basketball, but his underlying thing too is it's all about culture, owning your story.
Yep.
You know, everyone has a story and you have to own it. And also, you know, just being positive. Being positive and using your culture as your identity.
Yes.
So something that's really sits strong with Paddy is his identity and being over in America.
Yeah, well, it comes with a bit of weight. When you look at the success of Paddy Mills as a professional basketball player, we're talking big bucks, you know. He's contracted with the Otonoo Spurs. But you watch him on Facebook or you see information there about what he's doing. When we're talking about Australia Day, he represents his two flags, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags as well. He wears the colours when he's performing Torres Strait Island dancers. I mean, he's got you guys over there performing.
Yeah.
You know, like he's engaged with his culture and he hasn't forgotten his roots, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's right, all the time. And even over in San Antonio, he's even like brought their team into the forefront of acknowledging their traditional owners in San Antonio.
Yes,
so he's
for the American Indians, First Nation people.
Very successfully over there.
Beautiful. See, That's powerful. And he, like I said, haven't forgotten his roots and looking at his First Nation kids, young ones, here in Australia, you know. Look, it all starts with our young ones. If we can get their thinking right and get their attitude right, we have a bright future for our mob and closing the gap, so to speak. Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Very, very bright future. And when you look at when we go down on Sundays in the games, it's very, there's a very family orientated feeling about it, you know.
Well, that's who we are.
And when us black fellas get together, it's just perfect.
Yeah,
you just
beautiful.
Go and it's just, yeah.
Look, nothing doesn't happen without a team of people behind the scenes. We're talking sponsors. Who we got on board regarding sponsors, Kay?
Yeah, so sponsors, we've got Under Armour on board. They've done all the uniforms for the players.
Yes.
Even down to referees' uniforms, bench scorers.
Represent Under Armour.
Represent, yeah.
Yep.
They've done the uniforms. We've had Spalding come on to provide the bags each for the kids. They get a bag each plus a basketball for themselves.
So you must have a whole heap of basketball at your place at the moment.
We have 120 of them, exactly. I'm just glad they're not all blown up.
Exactly. They're bounce, 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 bounce.
And the other major sponsor is Coles. So big shout out to Coles. Thanking them for their sponsorship, providing snacks and drinks for the kids, you know, because sometimes our kids, you know, they get hungry. Our kids can eat lots or sometimes they eat a little bit, but when they play sport, they get proper hungry. So just having that little supply of food there, free for the kids to come and have.
Exactly.
It's just, just looking at it last week was our first week.
Yeah.
It was amazing. The kids just come and got
stuff
to eat.
So build it and they will come is the phrase I'm thinking of. So you started this sort of thing and then all the different sponsors come knocking on your door to support and help. And it's exposure as well. It gets their name out there. When you get the likes of Paddy Mills at the table, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That's a draw card for advertising, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
But I think their heart is in the right place as well regarding helping close the gap and educate young Indigenous kids.
Yeah, so it's been good. We've, like, as we go day by day, we just have sponsors coming in left, right and centre. We just, I think, can't keep up.
Stand back. Wait your turn, please.
Yeah, it's so good.
Deadly,
so good.
Deadly. Now, also, we as black people, we are good with our music and our singing and our dancing. There may be a special guest or a new surprise coming out regarding an anthem or a song for the
So the IBA has put some thinking into building a song around this whole event coming to fruition. So hopefully on Sunday we might get a little surprise in our opening ceremonies.
We can't disclose who that is.
Yeah, can't disclose who that is at the moment, but you got to come down and listen to BBM, you might hear
there
it.
There you go. All right. Stay tuned, you mob. Look, Adela Yarn, Kay, thank you so very much. Kay Zaro, Nee Savage, she's the regional manager here for the Indigenous Community Basketball League, run by IBA, and that's the Indigenous Basketball Australia. Like I said, Board of Directors, Patty Mills, and to name one of them as the Board of Directors. That's kicking off this Sunday here in Cairns, so all you young ones, team up. How many teams we got in the carnival?
We've got eight teams, so four boys teams and four girls teams.
Okay.
Yep, and they will have you know, their coaches, their assistant coaches and managers to help them along as well.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So that's here in Cairns. And regarding the other cities and towns, when do they kick off, do you know?
They kick off on Sunday as well.
As well, okay.
I think Queensland will probably all be on the same time, but I think the other states will run on their own time. But we're all roughly around
and this goes for
that.
The next 8 weeks and on the Sunday of each week for the next
Sunday
8 weeks.
Sunday of each week, yeah. For okay. the next 8 weeks, the kids will be playing games from 2 to 4 in
yep.
our area.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just want to shout out to all our Indigenous brothers and sisters out there and other families and friends.
Yes.
Come along, come down, come and see what's happening there. Come down and encourage our kids. Yes. Get on the sideline, shout, you know, give them a shout out.
Shake your pom-poms, do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Now, what about the carnival? At the end of the carnival, is there like representative selections and
yeah.
what happens there? Is
so
there a championship?
On the 28th of March is our grand final, and then after we do presentation of trophies, we will select a boy and a girls team to come on board and to travel to Gold Coast
okay.
As our team representatives from the Cairns, Mareeba, Innisfail, Yarrabah area.
Yes.
Go down to the Gold Coast. The dates are the 11th to the 17th of April.
Mm-hmm.
And there they will be running a 3-day intensive NBA, junior NBA camp. So
okay.
some of our kids will be selected to actually go to that camp. Not all of them will go, but a few of them will be selected
sure.
To
and
go
play
to
against
that
other
camp.
Teams and states.
Well, they'll do that 3-day camp with the NBA first.
Okay.
And then after that, our tournament will start. And then they'll play
really?
Against the other states who will bring their kids down to
Dude.
Play in our national tournament. And then from the national tournament, we may pick a team to go on further from
sure.
there.
Sure. Well, look, if you need someone to carry your bags, I've been
yeah.
working out, sister, so keep me in mind. Love to be part of that.
You should come as our motivational speaker for the
there
kids.
There you go, my sister. Hey, darling, look, good talking with you. Thank you very much for sharing, Kay. All the best to our deadly pickaninnies out there who are suiting up, getting ready to throw down on the weekend and doing a fantastic job there with basketball, sister. And big shout out to Patty Mills and the team there too.
That's right. Thanks, right. Trev. Yeah, shout out to everyone. Please come down and support.
All right. That's all at the Fish Tank happening this Sunday. Thank you very much for tuning in here at your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Want to hear what you've got to say, your mob? Yarn about basketball? Yarn about what's happening with your family or with your business? Or maybe you're starting university this year? Give us a call. Tell us what you're doing with your daily life. 1-800-422-416.
Survive. If only we live peacefully in harmony, in unity. If only we live peacefully in harmony. That's what community wants. In Australia, my boy. folks. Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, and BBM, Bumbleboot Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calling for that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Shelley Langford. She's a birth worker, a doula, and talk about the work that she's doing and also the vision about birthing on country and working with our First Nation women about that beautiful space. On the line, Shelley, very good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me today, Trevor.
Now, thank you very much for coming to the program. We always like to say, ask people who your mob, where you're from. So who's Shelley Langford?
So I'm a professional birth doula and do pregnancy massage and body work for women while they're pregnant, and supporting them postnatally as well. So, and I've had the honour of being working in this field for quite a few years now, and extending that out into not just working in hospitals, but working during home births. And I've also had the privilege of being welcomed for over a couple of years now, going up into remote villages in Papua New Guinea to support women in those areas where they still today birth in the bush. So
yes.
The knowledge and that I've gained has been incredible, and thanks to the women that are teaching me.
Well, fantastic. I mean, we are students for life, aren't we, Shelley?
We are, absolutely.
And when you look at it, our First Nation people, especially our women, we're delivering babies for 60,000 years, so we know what we're doing there in that space. Are there currently any birthing on country initiatives that you're aware of with our Indigenous women?
Yeah, definitely. There's people working on that in Australia at the moment, especially through the CATFAM and the collective, where they've been trying to collaborate and find ways to make sure women are still safe, but finding a way to birth on country. And I'm really looking forward to collaborating and seeing if we can take that to the next level and what that looks like for our First Nation people and what they're wanting on how we can take this even further to actually birthing back on country.
Yes. How can we achieve birthing on country again?
I think what's really needed, like over the the recent decades, there's been such focus of everyone wanting to be safe.
Yes.
So the medical system has created and advanced so much in their science and technology on how they can monitor us. Tests and procedures have come so far, and life-threatening surgeries that are saving lives. But however, I'm finding that the balance has gone way too far one way, and we've lost the emotional connection, spiritual connection, cultural connections, and we've got a lot of depression, anxiety. Our cesarean rates are more than double the World Health Organization recommendations. Assisted deliveries such as forceps and vacuum, breastfeeding is becoming a problem, and I really feel that we need to bring back that balance to create a really safe environment for our women.
So
that extends to their family and community, of course, that ripple effect.
Yes. So you've had interactions with, you were saying, First Nation people of Papua New Guinea, women. Any interaction with First Nation people here in Australia?
Absolutely. I've been supporting Torres Strait Island women. My family lived up there in the Torres Strait for 7 years.
Yep.
And also based in Kuranda here, I've had supporting some of our local Aboriginal women. And it's been a real honour to see from their point of view how different that is compared to me being hired as a doula from other women, and seeing the difference of care that they're provided, that they're given. So I would really love to find a way on how we can create and support them in a better way. Like they face many challenges. You know, a lot of the time they're talking to me about having appointments but not having access to get to those appointments. And there's some amazing Mocha Rosie and Apuma Pima, and some of those are doing such an amazing job that they can't reach everybody. So
sure.
I'm looking forward to collaborating and hoping that we can extend those services somehow too.
And, of course, when we're talking about an initiative of having a birthing on country becoming a reality or bringing it back, so to speak, it's got to be First Nation-led. And you being at the table with that support would be fantastic, would it not?
I think so. And I think just having a little bit more, you know, there's so much more evidence and research going into helping support women emotionally, and seeing that, you know, other options such as home birthing can be safe, and if not just as safe as a hospital. But we also need to be in an area where we can access the medical system if needed, of course. So,
I've been having a conversation, and I did interview Professor Roy Ann West, First Nation professor, who heads up she's the CEO of CASANAM, Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nursing and Midwives. Would you be interested in having a chat with her as a First Nation woman in regarding birth in our country?
It would be an honour to talk to her, and that would be a really beautiful conversation, and I know that we would definitely find a way to collaborate and move forward.
Yes.
That would be lovely.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, it's about operating in the same team, so to speak, and making this come to fruition, and having our Indigenous women having birth in on country, a spiritual sense as well as a cultural sense, it would be powerful for our women and for our children to join us on Mother Earth.
Absolutely. And, you know, that there are those opportunities available, but it's not reachable for everybody.
Sure.
So we do have access here in Cairns to home birth midwives, and we do have access to doulas to support. You know, so that's what I'm mostly hired for, is
yes.
actually birthing, women choosing to birth at home. So, you know, that's an option here at the moment that we're doing, and it's not something that's offered to our Indigenous women from communities.
Yeah, fantastic.
And, you know, and all of our women are having to be flown in at 36 weeks, taken away from their family and community.
Exactly, exactly.
So
if you feel more comfortable and more safe be more confident having birth in on country, that in itself creates a safe space for them.
Correct, exactly. And it comes back to collaborating and having that holistic support. So with the women that I work with, we've got nutritionists and naturopaths and doctors, and
yes.
there's a collaboration
yes.
to make sure that woman's nurtured and supported and made sure she's safe. So that's reaching the woman in the beginning of pregnancy. We make sure we can support her nutritionally to avoid things like diabetes and high blood pressure and things like that. If we can support that earlier, we're creating a safer birth for her as well. So,
well, I suppose we can add to the phrase where it takes a community to raise a child, well, it takes a community to bring a child into the world.
And it absolutely does, and I really see that when I go to PNG. You see
yes.
the villages raising the children. It's not just one mum and dad.
Exactly. Exactly. You've got partnerships out there that you're dealing with at the moment, and non-profit organisations you were mentioning?
I do. My husband and I, we've been fostering in the Torres Strait. We started in 2009, and our very first children that come to us, their dad was Saibai Island and their mum was from the village in Papua New Guinea.
Mm.
And we formed connections up there, and for the last 10 years, my husband and I have been supporting them on our own. And it slowly grew because we also go into the hospital, because life-threatening situations of the Papua New Guinea residents presenting on Boigu Island and Saibai and our outer islands in the Torres Strait,
yes.
they are flown into Cairns, Townsville, Brisbane for life-threatening situations. So my husband and I also go to support those in the hospital because they come here with nothing. So
exactly.
And those, through those connections, when we go to Papua New Guinea, we're welcome to other villages, not just the village that our first foster children were from. And through that, we've created a non-for-profit organisation called Galugbi, and that means everybody working together to achieve something.
Beautiful.
And from there, it's now just been registered as a charity last week. So that was really exciting for us, and we're looking forward to the extra funding to hopefully achieve some of these things that we need for our communities.
And do you have a web page there, or how do people donate?
The web page is about to be launched, but we've got a Facebook page. It's supporting villages in the Western Province at the moment, but we're all in the process since last week changing all of that to just the Galugbi, which encompasses all of the Northern Peninsula and Torres Strait Islands as well.
Okay, and what's the name of the organisation, sorry?
Galugbi.
How do you spell that, dear?
Gulabi.
Okay, Galugbi. All right, fantastic. So Facebook, people can check that out, have a read, and happy to take donations, of course, and support that non-profit organisation.
Thank you so much.
Shelley, nice We're talking with you, and thank you so very much. And birthing on country looked fantastic. Bring it to fruition. It's already happened, but let's make it a strong force. All the best to you, Shelley, and you and your husband.
Thank you. And Trevor, if there's anybody out there that has the passion to collaborate for us to be able to come up with that pilot project, you know, and a plan to moving forward, I'd really love to hear from them.
Lovely. Sounds good, Shelley. So there it is. And how do people contact you? Through that Facebook page, Galugbi?
Or I've got a website, Shelley Langford.
Yep.
So S-H-E-L-L-Y. langford.com.au, and I've got all my details on there.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Shelley. All the best to you. We'll be in touch, okay?
Thank you so much, Trevor, for your time, and thank you to everyone who's listening.
Thanks, sis. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for now.
A beautiful yarn there, Shelley Langford, a birth worker doula, and talking about the work that she's doing, and also talking about birthing on country initiatives, and working with Indigenous women. She's doing a lot there in the Torres Straits, and also up in Papua New Guinea. So look, a very a powerful space to be working in, and giving life. That's what it's all about, isn't it? So beautiful. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Bully Run. The Bully Run is Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumble Brit Media, 98.7 FM. Give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Too deadly.
this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Southern land, we stand on sacred ground and keep you bumping to these native sounds. From the land of the kangaroo, gonna show you how we ride. We've been a singing and a dancing since the dawn of time. So jump up on this ride while we fly like a spear. Like the waters in the Great Barrier Reef, we keep it clear. We mixing and I'm molding this classic Aussie rock. We modern combo gunners doing deadly here. Cause stop me when I'm coming like the snowy when it's flowing. Showing poetry in motion like a boomerang flying. All them territories and states be getting the taste. This modern day corroboree will hit your ear like a
standing on the solid rock. Standing on sacred ground. We're living on borrowed time. And the winds have changed. They're blowing down the line.
Rock the Southern Cross with black, red and yellow flowing through my veins.
It's a big red blue, yeah.
Died just to make me a warrior leader, trendsetter, monster with an IQ only rival by a few. A dreamer, a hustler, a schemer who likes to stay true. Forget everything in you, street warriors, we the truth. Listen to what we say, you won't wanna leave. You see now, this is a new day.
A solid rock, standing on sacred ground. We're living on borrowed time.
A few, but then it grew a belonging to this place, a connection to the land. We welcome and share with the races. This is what Australia's about, yeah. This is where we stand. The respect laws, the ancient ones before us passed them on. The land of the dreaming, aha. We now bring by song. We bring unity for all future generations. This is for everyone, for you, 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 and all your relations.
A solid rock, standing on.